Imagine, will this be uploaded to Blind Cool Tech as a podcast? Assuming it, people come and we actually get something going.
Okay, I have basically started recording everybody as of 8:51 a.m. Pacific, 11:51 a.m. Eastern. Now I'm going to, if Matthew Bowles is around, I'm going to, maybe he will record it and send it to Blind Cool Tech, and I'll be sending a copy to Blind Geek Zone. What was that?
Oh, I can speak. Yay. I don't know what's going on. I just seem to be getting such a lot of buffering in this chat room. It's unbelievable. Anybody else getting the same issue or not? You might want to chat it to me because at the moment what I can hear is pretty much unintelligible.
Maybe you might want to adjust the volume of the speakers if you can't hear us. I don't have... I have no problem at this end.
Right, no, the issue is buffering. You sounded fine then, but what's happening is I'm getting chunks of audio and then a long break and then some more. And so on, you know.
I agree with you, Matthew. It is buffering on my end as well. And I am recording as well, so just to have, you know, why not?
Mine's working fine. The only thing I'm getting is, like, there's a percentage that Jaws keeps reading out loud, but I found if you just turn off announce progress bars, then that goes away. But other than that, I have no buffering issues or anything.
I just turned the progress bar announcement off on the verbosities, so that should remedy the problem. Jaws saying, like, constantly saying 25%, 50%. Something like that.
Yeah, it works well. The only thing is every time you go out of the conference room, chat room thing, and then come back into it, it turns itself back on. It's kind of annoying, but oh well.
Oh, and it seems to be a bit better now, but it's still buffering.
Do we know who, if anybody else will be joining us? Has anyone spoken to anybody on the Brownout list, or Blind Cool Tech, or anywhere who will be coming, or not?
I've just sent the reminder message to all three lists, the Bruno, Blind Geek Zone, and Blind Cool Tech. And I don't know who's joining us now, but Aston wrote on the Bruno list that he would like to, but he cannot. Terry, welcome to this chat room.
Yes, welcome, Terry.
Any other potential members to who might like to join us?
16%.
Let's see, I'm thinking of, like, some other people would join us, like, Molina van der Waal, if she's on Skype or any other chat sessions right now. Did someone leave? Let's see, from the Bruno list. I know that Pac-Mate list won't be interested. Diane Kelker is another one, and other bunch of potential users on the Blind Cool Tech list and BGZ list who might consider joining this chat.
What I can do also, if you guys want, is once we get everybody in and really start going underway, I can edit in SoundForger if you want, Matthew. One of us can get all this beginning part out, just cut it out until we get to the real interesting parts, assuming more people join.
Okay, welcome to this chat session. This is mainly going to be a brainstorming chat to talk up, to like discuss features that we might like to see on the Burnout and other Burnout Q&A session. Kind of a chat that we used to have in 2004 that wasn't revived until now. I hope that some humanware folks like Joanne Becker, Matthew Januszewskis, and especially Burnout development team, especially Jonathan Sharp would join us, but I guess not. If humanware staff is content of joining us, then it should be better to host another chat next week with them as part of the chat. Okay, this session is mainly brainstorming and the Q&A sessions that I brought up. I know that some people are recording this. I know that some people will be here shortly. So I'm going to open up the chat room right now to anybody who wants to start up. May start. If you want to introduce yourself, then it's fine for me. This is Joseph Lee. You know, some of you have seen me on Blind Code Tech list and other lists before. anybody who wants to fire up?
Sure. I'm Rich Cavallaro from New York, and hi, who just joined? Whoever's joined. Keysoft 7.5. Why do you guys think they chose to implement the Unified English Braille Code? I mean, is it really being used? I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, at least in the United States, it's not being used at all. At least I don't know when I'm using it. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I'm only in Maine, you know, practically in Canada, but even so, my Braille teacher always keeps up on stuff like that, and I'd never even heard of it until I read about it on the HumanWare site. I've meant to Google search it, see exactly what it's all about, but I haven't gotten around to that yet. I think it would have been better for them to concentrate more on a better incorporation of Nemeth, you know, back translations, printing, stuff like that for Nemeth than the UED. I think Nemeth would have been a much more advantageous implementation.
And one thing that they really, and I know they're working on this, but they have to do better conversions of Word documents. And I'm sorry, but I think that should have been, you know, done a long time ago. I think it's long overdue, if you ask me. But that's just my opinion.
20%.
Well, for me, the only thing that worries me in Keysoft 7.5
27%.
Is that although it has support for
10%.
The better USB devices and SD cards. The only thing
21%.
That I worry about Keysoft 7.5 is lack of support. Like this 7.5 upgrade is mainly towards integration of RFID support and SSL.
19%.
But I feel that I know that some people from UK have felt like Dion
37%.
And others felt that this 7.5 release is contrary more towards the United States residents. Like such as support
23%.
For RFID, logging on to Bookshare. The only thing that I believe will benefit people outside the United States, I believe, is introduction of Unified English Braille Code. But I know that
35%.
I know that whether Matthew can correct me this or others.
9%.
Probably Rose will correct me this. If I don't know what
15%.
Will I don't know whether UEBC will work
10%.
Well with Bruno or not. I don't know whether UEBC has been standardized.
19%.
I don't know. Well, we'll find out in Keysoft 7.5 though whether it had whether
22%.
UEBC is fully supported or not based on the latest standard.
22%.
Whatever, I'll come back later because I'm going to connect my Bruno to act as a Bruno display with Josh for Windows to have a better control of it.
Matthew, what are your thoughts on all of this? Then, I mean, I see what Joseph's saying. I mean, me being a U.S. resident, I am a member of RFID, so I get that support. But for people in other countries, it's, you know, I think it's really unfair that us in the U.S. are getting all these Bookshare. Well, I know that that's for copyright reasons, Bookshare, but I mean, I think that they should have implemented more stuff that everybody can utilize, regardless of what country you're in.
23%.
Like any other features that you thought
36%.
You think the Keysoft 7.5 should have supported besides the Word document, Nemeth integration,
21%.
And so forth. I thought Keysoft 7.5
10%.
I thought it's going to support what's called other
28%.
Media types like Ogg Vorbis. I thought Keysoft KSW Media would support Ogg Vorbis codec, but I guess it didn't. Keysoft 7.5, and it's a such of bad news
11%.
When Keysoft 7.5 is going to be the last version for classic users.
Two things to that. The classic has been out for a while. I think that they've come to the point where they, you know, you can only do so much. You know, the Dogen looks they upgraded to the one operating system to CE4.2. You got wireless, you got. So, I mean, I think they've done the best they could, and they've really taken it as far as they could to ensure that their existing customers get upgrades. So, I do agree with Dota, sad for classic users. But Ag Vorbis, I use it on my iPod video 80 gig with the Rockbox software. And I know many other people use it, but it's not a format that everybody really uses. MP3 is really more universal. I kind of see why they didn't implement it. I'd like it too, but it's not something I think that a large pop, you know, that it really needs to be in the product from their standpoint.
This is Rose, and I kind of wish we had a lot better Word support, because I have documents from work that just won't open right on the Braille note, and I have to go back and convert them to RTF, or I have to try to save them in a lower version of Word, and it takes time, and it just bothers me that I have to keep doing that.
I agree with you, Rose. This is Calero again, one's from New York. I think the Word conversion issue is the next thing we have to address in Keysoft 8, whatever iteration of Keysoft again, but it needs to be addressed. It's a problem for everybody, and I don't know why we're in 2007 and the Braille note, you know, this issue wasn't addressed ages ago. It's a huge issue. And I felt that, look at Keysoft 7, let's jump back a little bit. I felt that they added more bells and whistles and could have been working on the Word support. And really, I'd rather in 7, I mean, the Daisy support is cool at 7.2, but I think like FM radio, I mean, I don't even use that. I really want to, you know, add stuff to the Empower, but I just think that there are more important things they could have prioritized previously.
The voice support, this is rather requires an operating system upgrade. I know that mainly Andrew Ryden wrote to me once a while that when HumanWare chooses components for Windows CE, they choose components that they need. What they could do is they can modify Windows CE kernel to support up to Word 2003 documents. In order to support Word 2007X documents, you actually need to upgrade the operating system to at least Windows Embedded CE 6.0. And I hope that I thought Keysoft 7.5 is going to do that, but I guess not. But we have to wait, I don't know how long, before we can upgrade to at least Windows CE 5.2, which is the basis for Windows Mobile 6.0.
Well, that upgrade to CE 5 or 6 really needs to happen anyway, not only for Word, but I mean, I know for me anyway, I'd really like to have Bluetooth file transfer, PDF files. I've been told a lot that PDF, nothing can happen with PDF on a Braille note until at least CE5, and then you go over and you look at the PacMate, and they've got CE6, and they've got PowerPoint, and they've got PDF, and they've got, I mean, all this stuff, and you know, I'm not a proponent of the PacMate, I really don't like it, just because I don't like to have to deal with the little quirks of JAWS and a PC, and basically PacMate is, you know, a laptop with a Braille display and JAWS on it. I like the Braille note a lot more, but the PacMate is just so much more advanced, it's a lot more feature-rich in a lot of ways than the Braille note is. And just even to keep up, HumanWare really needs to, I think, step up their Keysoft and CE development a lot more.
I think that since Jonathan Mosen departed from HumanWare, everything has stopped, really. When he was here, I mean, we had at least two upgrades were going, you know, you got the PK, the MPEV, I mean, things are really flying fast. And now that he's gone, everything has come to a grinding halt, I think. I think he really had a big effect on HumanWare. And as far as your Windows CE 5 and 6 upgrade you mentioned, Joseph, do you think that would require a hardware upgrade for the Empower?
We'll see. Pac-Man Omni is based on Windows CE 5.2, Alex, which is also a basis for a Windows Mobile 6, which is codenamed Crossbow. I don't think Empower has sufficient hardware capabilities to run even Windows CE 5. Because the hardware is in place, only thing that needs to be done is operating system upgrade. What they can do is, if they're going to do OS upgrade, they can come up with a new PDI boot file and they could come up with the eBoot to upgrade the update the bootloader to support booting for Windows CE 5. And Andrew said that the upgrade process will be similar if we upgrade to CE 5 or CE 6, depends. The hardware is already in place. The processor is capable of running CE 5 because the processor itself has instructions for working media files, as opposed to PXA255, which is on PacMate, which does not natively have powerful multimedia instruction set as in PXA270. For Bruno PK, it depends on whether BOM releases a new version of Pronto or even similar product, which human will import. But so far as the hardware goes in the Empower, I would say the hardware is ready. The only thing that we need to wait is the OS upgrader, which will upgrade from 4.2 to Windows CE, at least Windows CE 5.
Because now the Pac-Mate, the Pac-Mate Omni, that runs CE 6, right? I believe.
It runs on the Windows Mobile 6, but the underlying heat Windows CE version is 5.2. And the one more thing to mention is that from a programming perspective, it is better to upgrade to CE 6.0. I don't know whether, Alex, you know this. In CE 6.0, the process limit has been raised to about 30,000 process limits, so you can run unlimited process, given that it has sufficient virtual memory. And the virtual memory limit has been raised from, currently Windows CE supports up to 32 megabytes of virtual space. CE 6 supports up to 2 gigabytes of virtual memory space, which is pretty useful for multimedia tasks such as recording and so forth. Also, the virtual memory would be useful for working with PDF documents and auxiliary Word documents that contains tables and images and so forth, I would say.
That brings up a question. Joseph, you seem to know a lot about this type of thing. CE4.x seems to, well, you said it supports only up to 32 megs of virtual memory, and I'm equating virtual memory with RAM. But why is it that all the Braille notes, I don't know about classics or PKs, but at least my MPower, I get up to using, you know, between 13, I got up to 16 once, megs of RAM, and it keeps giving me that not enough storage is available to process this command. Well, I'm at less than half of my RAM capacity. I mean, why is it freezing up way before it even reaches its own limit?
Virtual memory is some kind, it's not technically RAM, although it's considered a memory type. According to my searches on the internet, virtual memory is some kind of a memory environment where you can actually have processes run in a virtual environment where memory. Well, it's like an extension of the physical memory. The reason why you get to use it, my record was around 19 megabytes. The reason is that the virtual memory is full. The virtual memory is full. That's why you cannot use even address up to 30 megabytes. Also, the Windows CE 4.x also limits the processes to 32 megabyte, which Bruno can, which Keystuff can easily exceed, and it allows up to 32 programs slash processes to run. Probably my reasoning might be that because the reason why you cannot use more than 19 or 20 megabytes of RAM is because the virtual memory is full.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. You're saying the 32 process limit. I can see where Keystuff could easily go over 32 things between all its Braille and its speech and its, you know, doing whatever it has to do to run Keysoft on top of CE itself.
I am sorry for the interruption. I'm checking the email at the same time. My apologies again, because I kept doing that. James Mullen from the Brilliant List just suggested, if I connect a USB port cable to the Bruno, will I be able to connect to use the onboard mic. Meaning to redirect the sound from the PC to Bruno. James, I'm sorry to say that you cannot really do that. USB is a communications port, not an audio port. Wait a minute. Rich, I know you've done I know that you've done with some audio work. Do you have any like explanations as to? Because I gave an explanation just right now, but for like a further details, do you have any other details on that?
Not really. He's gonna have to connect via, you know. I saw the message too. Did he say he had cable on the system? He can disconnect via his desktop. Have to use his desktop or modem or something via the PC. It's not gonna work with the Empower.
Yeah, that's right. Wait a minute. I'll come back within a minute. I'm checking email for more emails. Any other issues that you guys want to mention? I know that someone joined us right now. Let me see who is here.
Be back in about 10 minutes, guys. Bust up.
Okay, Tom Lane. Tom, welcome. I haven't seen you. I've seen you on the burner list, but it's nice to talk to you on a chat room like this for the first time.
Thanks. Yeah, it's the first time here.
Yes. Tom, we were discussing about upgrading to Windows CE. It's the other question that would like to come up. Let's see. Oh, never mind. Any like hardware upgrade that you would like to see on like a future Bronote? I know that for me, Bronote Empower is sufficient in hardware model, but in my opinion, the I would say that SDIO support should be integrated into SD card slot. SDIO is a subset of SD standard from SD Association, which allows SD type wireless and Bluetooth card to be used with Bruno. I would like to see the SDIO support implemented in SD card slot in the future, Bruno.
So what would the SDIO support do?
SDIO support will allow us to use secure digital like wireless card or USB card, like a, it's just like a secure, you can use like an SD version of the compact flash accessories like an Ethernet card and Wi-Fi card in the SD card format.
Certainly sounds like a good idea.
Guys, do you have any other opinions regarding this?
I'd like to see it. The only thing is how they've placed the SD card slot. It's really low, so like you can use your Wi-Fi in the side slot and stuff like that. The only issue I'd see with it is it's all physical, you know. You can't have the Braille note hanging, you know, by your shoulder or something, have it open, because it would keep kind of bending the Wi-Fi part sticking out of the SD slot. I'm looking at my machine right now, and it probably would, you know, the cover, as soon as it would move, would push against the SD. I'd like to see it. You know, there are situations that'd be great, but it seems physically like it'd be tough on the cards themselves.
Well, I can understand that. And personally, if they include support for 802.11e, that is the newest Wi-Fi standard that's been released after G standard. If they can do that, then the burner can support 802.11a, b, g, and e standards, which will be useful for connecting to these four types of networks, and will be ahead of competition. And better yet, I believe that they should have Wi-Fi card embedded into the chip, so you don't have to buy separate Wi-Fi cards anymore. That's what the competition, specifically VoiceSense, is doing right now.
Absolutely, that's been an annoyance for a long time. I mean, I've gone through, I don't know, five or six Wi-Fi cards just in the Yeah, about a year and a half, year and 8 months, I've had my Empower. And I think I went through two with my Classic ever since 6.1. Anyway, it's, you know, Wi-Fi embedded would be a lot nicer. And also, whenever, I don't know if anyone else has this problem, but whenever I put the Wi-Fi card in the side slot, if there's a CF card in the back, the Wi-Fi card isn't recognized. And when you've got a GPS pouch or something on, it's pretty hard to get to your CF card to pull it out, insert the Wi-Fi, push the CF back in. I mean, embedded would just solve a lot of problems, not the least of which would be carrying the cards around a lot and making sure they don't get broken.
Right, I can see that. Sherman, welcome.
Thank you very much. I just finally got it working.
Yeah, I would say the embedded Wi-Fi would benefit a lot of people, especially so we don't have to spend $50 to $70 on a Wi-Fi card that will work for only for a year. But the embedded Wi-Fi also has some downsides. If it fails, then you have to replace it. That would be like a potential disadvantage of it. Someone also mentioned AM radio. I would say it depends on the hardware, but I would say the Empower cannot support AM radio. First of all, the hardware should be implemented in some way to support AM, which is called amplitude modulation as opposed to frequency modulation, FM. And the AM does draw more power and is susceptible to more disturbance than FM, in my opinion.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Joseph, and I'm back, guys.
Well, the problem you have is the internal noise that the machine will generate, and that's going to interfere with the AM radio. So I would say that suggestion is out of the picture. The problem you have regarding the Wi-Fi, unfortunately, the competitors are already putting the Wi-Fi inside. It's not a question of this is what the Empower should do. It's that they better do it or they're going to get outflanked by the competition. There needs definitely to be a hardware upgrade or some kind of upgrade to where the Wi-Fi would be inside. And the cards are getting harder and harder to get, and that's a real problem, and I'm sure the major players are going to find this to be the case, where the units that put the Wi-Fi inside are embedded, as you put it, they're going to come out a lot better.
I definitely see what you're saying, and I hope, just going on to something else we can maybe talk about, that they improve the recording a little bit in the Brownout, and the memo recording. Like, I could see maybe someone using it to record lectures in college. So maybe the ability to set markers while you're recording. Also, maybe stereo microphones.
Yeah, just real quick about the Wi-Fi. Joseph, you mentioned that the problem is if it fails, you got to send it back. But, I mean, my friend has had several PDAs from Dell. We have a few Dell laptops around the house. And I know people that have a lot of, basically just a lot of Wi-Fi only. Wi-Fi-enabled devices, there we go. And I've never seen any of those cards fail. I mean, some of them are pretty old, and the Wi-Fi has never failed in them, so I don't know that that's a huge concern. Yeah, I definitely agree, though. I can't remember who said it, but with the recording, I mean, every time I record something, I hear it, and then my mom will have taken a video of it with her little digital camera. And the audio quality of them both is just so drastically different. There's always this background hissing and humming in the Braille note, even at the highest recording level settings, that is just not present in a lot of today's cameras and other recording devices. I mean, I don't know if that's software. I'm pretty sure it's hardware, though, but if they could just get a much better quality microphone in there, that'd be really great. They probably don't, because it would probably cost more, and they don't want to have a lot of the cost go up for something that people might not use. I mean, if that's the case, I can see where they're coming from, but still, something needs to be done about that, because it's just a terrible quality right now.
I agree. I mean, I have recorders that use the Edirol R9, which uses secure digital cards to record on this, both in stereo mics, and It just sounds so much... I never use a program for recording anything now because it just sounds so much better, the Eddie Roll. It records on a compressed wave or MP3, and it's nice and clean, and there's no hiss, nothing like that. So it's good. That definitely needs to be an improvement, you know, in the Empower. I'd also... I mean, I guess PDF would be nice, but I guess that would require a OS upgrade.
And please be aware that PDF documents wants to take more memory than conventional documents. This is where the virtual memory would be useful. In terms of recording, I would say what they need to do is move the microphone to somewhere else where user can easily find it. The microphone is located on the top left corner on the Empower, and although PK is fine because it is located directly on front beside the joystick. I'll say that if human can do it, then why don't they move their microphone to somewhere where the user can easily identify it. It's shoved in the corner right now. It's quite difficult for user to find it and record it correctly.
I've never found it to really be a directional thing. I mean, I figure I've tested it before with, I think, 6.2, and I think I did some with 7. But as long as you're kind of talking at the Braille note, it seems to pick it up pretty well. I guess it depends on your sensitivity setting, but for the most part, I'm not sure moving it would do too much good. Again, the main thing is they just need to get a better one.
Well, if you record, you might play with the volume, because sometimes the where that's put will affect the recording. When I first got the capability, at full volume, my recording was all fuzz. When I turned the volume down, it cleared up the recording considerably. When I upgraded, it improved, but I still have trouble if I try to go at full level. It won't record worth a darn.
Yeah, a feature I'd really like to see in this whole thing would be the ability to hear what you're recording as you're hearing it. So, like, as you're recording something, you could, you know, listen to it as it's being recorded so you can test and adjust microphone levels and stuff. Because right now, as I think we all know, we have to record a little bit, stop it, listen to it, adjust it, record it again, and if you're trying to catch a lecture or something really quick, then it just takes a really long time, and you're going to miss half the thing before you finally get it right.
I agree. Monitoring needs to be done. I say monitor through headphones, because you'll... I always just think it's better using a speaker. And while being able to monitor, using your space with .3 and space with .6 keys to be able to adjust your levels while recording is going.
Yeah, it's a really good idea with the key combinations. It'd make life a lot easier for everyone.
Yeah, I like that idea, and possibly even putting the Braille equivalent of a VU meter. Maybe a certain cell would start to sort of flash if you start to peg it, you know, maybe something like that.
Okay, I'm just some good suggestions. I'm currently going through the my wish list posted by Bob Kavanaugh. Let's see. Alright, excellent. Someone joined us. Do you feel that progress percentage announcements should be implemented in copying or moving file prompts?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest things that bugs me is when you are moving something, say it's a really big file, you have no clue how long it is. The other thing that would sort of help with that, kind of related, is multitasking. I mean, have it move something in the background while you're doing other stuff.
Well, I'm still going to the list here. Let's see. I'm still reading through the list of suggestions here. That's one number that I left off. Oh, never mind. I'll come back later.
I can think of one that I'm not sure if anybody's mentioned because I haven't read all the lists, but being able to use remote synthesizer and Braille terminal mode, not only via Bluetooth, not only via serial, but via the USB client port or host port. I could probably client, I guess you'd say. Yeah, client.
Terry, we didn't hear a thing you said if you were talking. Also, I agree with the USB support for the Braille displays and stuff. That is just so much easier to set up. And I have spent hours trying to figure out what COM port I'm connected to and all that stuff. I just really wish we could have the USB to connect the Braille note as a display.
Yeah, so do I. And to be able to use them at the same time, you know, have it synthesize what you're seeing on the Braille display. So instead of choosing, do I want speech, do I want Braille, just have them all so you can have your remote keyboard, you know, your Braille keyboard, your display, your speech, all through USB. That'd be really nice, because Bluetooth is just so frustrating.
I didn't get the point. In order to do that, there should be settings for USB configuration where basically what Windows can do is that it won't associate the USB port with the ActiveSync. They can just change the USB port so that it will activate the Braille display or remote synth via USB. And also I believe the screen readers and screen magnification software must be taking advantage of that and must write the Braille note, in Jaws' case, Braille.jlb file to redirect the output through USB. I believe that can be implemented. Also, did anybody found either that when you insert a network card, the speech stutters, and when you play back a memo, say in a document, the media player commands take over instead of using keyword commands?
Yeah, the stuttering mainly happens either when I have the AmbiCom, so I try and avoid the AmbiComs, or when my SanDisk disconnects from the network I was connected to and it keeps looking for another one to connect to, then it'll stutter sort of, but that's not a huge problem. And the other one, the media, I find that a lot. I mean, I'll record something like a phone number or a web key or something, I'll go to type it in, I'll hit play memo, and it won't let me type anything. And the display doesn't show that it's in the media player, but the cursor routing keys will move you around, even though the display still shows your document or whatever you were in. And it should be the other way around. It should open in the background like it does when you're in directory mode.
I know, as far as stuttering speech, when I'm playing an MP3 file off my network, or off an SD card or USB drive, whatever, and on KeyWeb, especially with Eloquence. I think that's why when I use KeyWeb, I've come to using Keynote Go, because I find Eloquence has this tendency to, when loading big pages, it would just lock the mPower. Well, I'm not sure if it's an Eloquence problem, but I've noticed mostly the Eloquence where it'll lock up.
The reason? Have you noticed that Eloquence takes about 1.5 to 2 megabytes of RAM more than Keynote Gold? I know that Keynote both are speech software-based speech synthesizers, but Eloquence uses more tons of memory. This is evident when you go to support info mode and under memory, which you can access with ReadEye or iPort. This has been also a problem for me. For that circumstances, I usually use Braille display, which significantly decreases the RAM usage from my experiences. Although I have also noticed that the media, whenever I play back a memo in like a document, whenever I play Enter M, whenever I press Enter M on my BT keyboard, the media player commands takes over. I don't know whether it should be fixed or not. I haven't seen this until KeySub 7.2. So we'll see. Terry, would you mind adjust your microphone volume so we didn't hear you what you said?
We could try it again this time. I was asking, what's the problem with upgrading the OS if the mPower hardware is able to handle it?
There's no problem with it. There is no problem with it, Doctor. Sorry. the hardware is already in place. The only problem that I would see when upgrading the OS would be to come up with a new PVI boot file, which was used to upgrade the classic from Windows CE 2.1 to the 4.2. Other than that, then there is no problem with upgrading to CE5 or CE6, I would say.
Well, as far as updating it, I think the question sort of comes up, and I've never quite understood this, if Keysoft is running over top of CE and doing, I don't know, I have no idea how it does it because I haven't released any sort of SDK or anything for Keysoft yet, but if all it's doing is using whatever it needs from CE, then, you know, what's really the problem with just updating it? You know, they always say they have to develop all this stuff and they have to rework everything, but they don't really have to touch CE that much in order to do it all. I mean, I don't see what the big deal is. Even just leave 7.2 or 7.5, I guess, by then in place, but just put a new CE underneath it. You know, I don't see that there's much adaptation that HumanWare needs to do to it to release it for us.
What they need is they need to obtain a new CE version from Microsoft, and especially CE 6.0. The reason why they said they have to rework everything is that some components have changed, even the components that HumanWare uses have changed. Especially in CE 6.0, the kernel has been rewritten to take advantage of virtual memory. Especially in CE 5.0, since Keysoft system disk is no longer used as storage medium, and all the system files are moved to flash, that's why HumanWare said they have to rearrange everything.
I hope that HumanWare releases the software development kit. I mean, I'm not a programmer, I don't know anything about all that, but I think it would be so cool if people would be able to develop other applications for the Brown Node. I think it's something that should have been released a long time ago. But anyway.
They've been talking about that ever since the Braille Note came out in 2001, and they haven't done that.
That tells me it's never going to happen.
Oh, no. Well, the good thing is that if HumanWare upgrades to CE5, then the development of software gets easier because they have now support .NET framework. And I don't know that CE6 does support Visual Studio. That would be easier for HumanWare to base their SDK from. They can easily base their SDK from using .NET and porting the .NET the code to the SDK. My thinking is that if .NET is supported, then the programmer has less time developing software. What they need is to do is just develop the software using .NET Compact Framework 2.0 or Visual Studio, and then save the code and then run it through HumanWare Keysoft SDK, and what SDK needs to do is compile it based on Visual Studio or .NET code, and then it'll effectively return the software into a Braille compatible software that will run under CE5 and CE6, respectively.
I'd like to go back and just ask a question for my own sake. I didn't upgrade to the 7.2.1 build 54 simply because I don't do the RFB. Is there any other features or benefits besides that in that? If not, are they ever going to do anything about HTML? Because I've gotten files from a couple of you fellows on how to read this email, these HTML emails, and I've never gotten that to work.
Yeah, I've got 7.2.1 build 54 running, and I haven't seen any change at all. I haven't gotten a UAK from RFBD yet. I'm not sure I will. You know, I don't know. When I start college this fall, I'll figure out exactly how much I'll have to use RFB books, but there's really no advantage other than that. It's part of the reason, I guess, it was a free upgrade. But anyway, the HTML email, a lot of people have been requesting it, as I think we all know. I don't know why it didn't get into 7.5. I mean, it seems like the easiest thing in the world to just put an option in Keymail, or even in the email itself, and instead of using Keyword to look at the text of a document, just use KeyWeb. I mean, it, from my point of view, it really doesn't seem hard.
I see what you're saying. HTML email needs to come. But no, wait, the 7.2.1, I was kind of on vacation last week, so I missed a lot of this. What, so now RFB support is here. I thought it was coming at 7.5. But if you download, my understanding correctly, that if I download 7.2.1 build 54, I'll get it now. But of course, they'll have to contact RFB for the UAK.
Yeah, that's the thing about 7.5 that kind of annoys me too. I mean, they're marketing a lot of this stuff as new. The SDMMC drivers, the USB updates, the RFBD support. Well, those three things are already available free. I mean, you know, 7.21 build 54 gives you RFBD, but apparently from someone on the list, I don't know who it was, who was talking to RFB and themselves, they said that they won't have UAKs available for Braille Note until next August anyway, and that's, not next August, you know, like a month from now, and that's why, I guess, Humanware held off on announcing their 7.21. But, yeah, technically, RFBD support is here already, and it's a free upgrade.
I believe it was like a Sharon Campbell or someone else who mentioned that. I don't know who it was, either Molina van der Waal. I know that I've seen that message before. I know that I have. I am also running keys of 7.21 build 54. Other than RFBD support, I don't see any changes. The HTML email, you'll need Windows CE 5 in order to read it. This Windows CE 5.2 supports HTML email directly. The possible workaround that someone posted on the Braille Note list, I believe Alex did it, Matthew did it, I know that I have mentioned why, is to open the web, open the HTML email in KeyWeb. But I would say that in order to have HTML support, an urgent operating system upgrade is needed to at least CE5.
We've been asking for email upgrades with the HTML and doing some sort of filtering and stuff like that from day one also. It drives me crazy when my computer's down and I have to use the Braille Note for email. It's the one thing I think it does terribly bad, other than the Word document conversions. The email is the other thing that really bugs me. And of course, I would like the USB to work when I use it as a display. I'm using a Focus 40 from Freedom right now and hooking it up through JAWS and USB. I mean, it took me 2 minutes. The Braille Note, it'll take me 3 hours to do.
I can understand why. I would say that HTML email support will be huge benefit for many people who subscribe to email lists, especially news sites, which sends HTML mails. I know that SSL support in 7.5 will benefit many people, including myself, who use Gmail accounts. But it'll be beneficial if Humanware supports HTML email in 4.2. And I would say that this should be one of the urgent priorities that they should develop to support HTML mail, in my opinion.
Well, speaking of email, I mean, even before we get into a lot of new features and stuff, there are some things, especially since 7.2, that really get on my nerves. I mean, I'll write an email to someone, I'll go to send it. Instead of trying to send, it'll instantly say zero email sent, I'll go back and the email's gone. And I think that's happened to a lot of us. Also, a lot of times when I reply to someone, it seems to especially happen with the Braille Note list, it'll insert this random character like a space or a question mark or some Unicode character that I've never seen before at the end of the address, and, you know, I'll get the return mail because that address obviously doesn't exist, but it's not the address I wrote. It's the address the Braille Note decided I wanted, so there are a lot of stabilization issues with that and with other things in the Braille Note that really need to be addressed. I'm not going to say before anything else, but as well as everything else.
These characters are control characters. I've seen that before. The control characters always comes up. My experiences show that it is about one per every 50 messages. Or if I'm writing or replying to a message, it is one per every 30 or 40 messages that this kind of control characters comes up at the end of the message.
Well, not even at the end of the message, but just at the end of the address I'm sending it to, and then that address won't exist. Or as I said earlier, it'll just decide to erase my email completely and not even leave the backup I made of it. You know, I'll go to save a copy because I know what's going to do it. Well, that copy is gone too.
That is something the human brain has to look upon. This is where a debugging utility is useful. Where debugging is useful for finding out what really happens, because it sends a binary character to a terminal in question. I've done that before. If human brain can use a debugging utility and find out what is causing the problem, then they can easily fix it in a patch or something like that, in my view.
I'd like to get that drivers for the SD cards. I was watching a while back when they did the USB ones, and I got that, but I missed the other one for the SD drivers, and whenever you do a search on HumanWare's site, it's not very successful.
It is located at the go to HumanWare, and then I believe you have to go to some link. Alex knows what it is. I know that Rhonda gave us instructions. I know that Ricky Collins used to give us the correct URL. The link that you are looking for is Bruno Drivers. And then there should be a heading that says SD Driver.
All right, thanks. I'll check it out later.
Another thing they really need to do, particularly for those of us out there who use GPS, is they need to improve the stability of the Bluetooth stack. One of the things that I really have trouble with is losing the Bluetooth connectivity between my Empower transplant and the Holix GP Slim receiver. And I don't think, you know, it has anything to do with the receiver per se. I think it's the Bluetooth stack that keeps dropping the connection. So that's something that definitely needs to be addressed, because it's a real problem.
Oh, yes, I can understand what you're saying. We need Kevin Chow in this chat. I know that we failed to include Kevin's chat. I know that Kevin is now at Minneapolis right now for ACB convention. I don't know whether he's in Atlanta for NFB convention. Alex, I guess if we have chat next week, then we should invite Kevin Chow here, because he said that he would like to join the chat, but I guess not. He is a GPS person that we would like to ask for more info about GPS. The Bluetooth stack, I know the human world needs to update the Bluetooth stack to support object exchange and headset. I know that. For me, the priorities should be infrared data transfer support, on at least on the Bruno Empower. For Bruno for PK, I believe object exchange protocol OBEX using Bluetooth. I believe it should be implemented. So if we have a Bluetooth device that we want to send files or something like that, we can just simply line up, simply discover our Bluetooth devices and send it that way. If infrared data transfer is enabled, then we can send files using infrared port, and that should be one of the long-term priorities, long-term goals the human needs to set on, especially in order to compete with the sighted world, as they proclaim it in their slogan, in my opinion.
But Bluetooth file exchanges and headsets, I've been told, are Windows. Here we go again, Windows CE update necessary before we can do any of it.
My experience with the Bluetooth is that it's just not really reliable in any way.
The reason is that it interferes well with some radio devices that use same radio bands. Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and microwaves use 2.45 GHz and radio channel. And the Bluetooth changes among 79 channels to find a reliable one. I believe it is more towards crowded channel and interferes of the audio radio signals, like a disruptive signals from microwaves and Wi-Fi devices that plagues Bluetooth. In my experiences, I've seen that before. This also applies to Wi-Fi. If there are too many radio equipments within the area, it will disrupt the radio communications.
Well, from a software end, my mom just got a new cell phone, Nokia 6085, and I was actually kind of disappointed it didn't support the talk software. But anyway, I paired with it just to see how it would go, because I don't have many Bluetooth devices. You know, my Blue Logger for the GPS, and that's about it. But I paired with it, and I couldn't unpair it. It just kept on saying paired. I would hit enter, select a device, it would say remove pairing or activate, you know, whatever it was, modem, active sync. I'd say remove pairing. You take me back, Nokia 6085, paired. I couldn't unpair it for the longest time. I finally got it today for no apparent reason. It finally just decided to unpair me, but even the software doesn't seem very stable, disregarding the connections themselves.
And I have noticed almost the same thing. Say that if you're connected to a computer, and if you leave the room, like away, like 30 feet away or more, and even though if you move to other locations, once you search for devices, the computer name that I even paired, or anybody paired, will come up, and it'll say computer name paired. And if I press enter to remove it, sometimes it'll say paired. If I press enter again, it'll say remove paired. If I press R again, then it'll say X, then it'll say computer name. That, I believe, is something that human brain should watch out for. Okay, any other suggestions or questions and answers that you want to fire up? I know that Carlson has been talking about Inform 7.0. And anybody heard of this before?
Yeah, apparently it's a new Inform language that's supposed to be a lot easier to write, because instead of writing code, you're basically writing the story. You say, you know, the living room is a space. Inside the living room, there is a couch and a TV. And you're just writing it in that sort of language, so there's no code involved, and what it does is back translates into the code itself, and it then compiles that code. But I didn't know this, but apparently it uses slightly different something or other, so that it doesn't compile as standard Z5 or Z8 or Z3, which are the three formats I found that work with BrailleNote. So I haven't tried it. I haven't actually downloaded any Inform 7 compilers yet, but apparently, according to the message that was brought up about it, the Inform 7 formats aren't going to work with BrailleNote.
Yeah, Kevin Carlson brought this up. So did others. I think Inform 7 would be useful. And if HumanWare releases SDK, then HumanWare also should release an Inform 7 compiler for BrailleNote to allow us to write games that will run under BrailleNote. And speaking of games, did anybody try out Tetris yet?
Yeah, I have. I don't entirely understand it, but, I mean, I've got it basically down. It's something fun to do during a time when you're bored, like when I get dragged to the movies or something, because they don't do me much good, so I sit there with my BrailleNote and I play Tetris or something. It works for me.
Well, another question I have is, if they do come out with a Keysoft 8, we're going to have to use one of our SMAs on 7.5 before we would be able to use one SMA to go to 8, or what?
Basically, yes, you have to use, you have to actually let 7.5 use one SMA count, and if 8 is released, then you can use the other count that's remaining. That's been always been practiced in the 18 industry for some time. This also applied to JAWS for Windows as well.
Well, the reason I asked is because I don't see what, you know, 7.5 is doing if we've already got the RFB support. You know, what am I wasting an SMA on?
That's what I thought. I'm sorry if there was any confusion. I emailed the list a while ago saying that you could skip 7.5 and go right to 8 with, because like you, I've got one SMA left, one SMA count, and I thought I could just go right to 8 from 7.2, but I was wrong, so I'm sorry if that caused any confusion, but apparently you have to get 7.5 before you can go on to anything else.
Yes, there was a message that was brought up on the BrailleNote list a couple days ago about that. Let's see what the suggestions. Did anybody try to find like any CD-ROM or any DVD drive that would work with Brownout? I know that Keysoft 7.2 supports it. We haven't heard anything from Humorware regarding which specific model that it is supported.
I don't know about models or anything, but I was at a friend's house one time, and I have no idea how he did it, but he'd taken a computer CD drive, you know, one that's meant to be installed right into a PC, and he'd somehow rigged it to a USB cable. I plugged that in. It didn't say anything. It didn't say, you know, hard disk ready or CD drive ready. So I reset it like, you know, you do when you plug in a USB device and get nothing. And I reset it, and it came up. I still didn't have anything on my drive list, but I stuck a CD in there and was able to play some MP3 files. The CD was kind of corrupted, but the files that weren't corrupted, I was able to play okay off of it. I don't know what brand it was or anything, but it seems like those sort of, what are they called, enclosures might work for just a generic computer hard drive.
Yes. These are 5.25 encoders. Yes, I believe in my theory that it should work well. With enclosure, with USB 5.25 inch CD enclosures, I would say.
Sorry to get off subject for a second, but could the person who was looking for the SD card drivers give me their email address? Because I found the drivers themselves, and I'll just send you the link so you can go download the installer and the drivers.
Yeah, that was me. Do you want me to type that to you on here, or how do you want me to give that?
If you could just speak it, it'd be easiest if you're okay with that.
Yeah, it's fine with me. I'm on the list anyway. It's T. Sanders. That's T-S-A-N-D-E-R-S 77 at earthlink.net. You'd sent me your files on the calculator before.
Okay, I'll send you that link in a second here. That's all I had for that. Sorry about the interruption.
No problem, and thank you very much. Well, the one thing in kind of thinking over what we've discussed, what I've been listening to, what we keep coming back to in all of the different feature requests that people are making, while some of them are talking about, you know, possibly improving some hardware, you know, and again, you're talking a major expense because of the prices that they seem to have to charge for what you can buy in other places, much less everything else, all the other feature requests, the HTML, the Word documents, the USB support, so many of these things, it just necessitates the OS upgrade. And we're going to be so far behind the competition and everything if we just don't see that come about soon.
Yes, this is why we needed to have some humorous staff on this chat. For next week, when we have another one, probably then HumorWare staff will be able to tell us what exactly is going on. In that regard, it is currently 10:05 Pacific, 1:05 Eastern, 16:05 UK, if I'm correct, Matt, if he's not here. Okay, other questions? By the way, how long do we want this chat to go?
I'm free all day, so it doesn't matter to me.
Any other questions that you guys would like to fire up?
Well, as far as Instant Messenger and FTP, which are the two things that I'd really love to see on here, would either of those require anything from the for an OS upgrade? And when I say FTP, I mean not only being able to browse FTP links, but being able to connect to both secure and unsecure FTP to send files to web servers.
In my opinion, Instant Messenger or Windows CE already has a component for that. I would say KeyChat, I don't know when this will be released, but I know that it will be released some in the future. It has been promised before. FTP, I don't know what it is. I don't know what is going on with file transfer protocol support. For secure file transfer protocol support, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think Windows CE already has a component for it. I don't know if Windows CE 5 or 6 already has a component for it. But we will see. Okay, if you guys don't have anything to say, I'm going to close this recording. So I guess that does it for the today's chat. Okay, I'd like to thank everybody who came here for this chat. Dr. Sanders, Rose, Alex, Rich Cavararo, Matt, who tried to come here, but I guess not, and Tom and James Aldrich. I just thank all of you for this chat today. I'm going to send a copy of this chat recording to Blind Cool Tech as well as Blind Geek Zone, hosted by Rick Harmon. So, see you all on the donut list.
And just so everyone knows, I've been taking a summary of basically all the points that we came up with. There are 8 of them, so if anybody wants me to do anything with that, just let me know through email.